So this morning, we're going to be in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We're just going to look at the first 16 verses. But we need to step back to the 27th verse of chapter 19 in order to get an understanding of why is Jesus giving this parable? I mean, he's not just randomly walking along and goes, "Hey guys, guess what I want to do today? I just want to share a parable with you." I mean, Jesus gave these parables. I'm sure there were times that Jesus just randomly told jokes and told stories about his childhood and told stories about how disciples had messed up, and it was kind of funny. I mean, Jesus had a great sense of humor. You know, I'm sure he was just, you know, he would do these things. But here in the first verse of chapter 20, he starts a parable, not for no reason, but to explain something, to put it in a way that hopefully the disciples and today us will understand. So look at verse 27 of chapter 19. "Then Peter said in reply." Now remember, the rich young ruler's already come and talked, and Jesus told the rich young ruler what? "You need to sell everything. You just need to get rid of everything. Give it to the poor." Now, this wasn't a command that Jesus was given to Christians as a whole. He knew the heart of this young ruler. The young ruler had already sort of pridefully said, "Well, I've kept all the commandments you've just told me to keep. I've done that." And Jesus, knowing his heart, said, "Well, what about this idol you have? You need to get rid of that." And he goes on, and the man leaves, right? He just walks off. He's sad. He walks off. And the disciples, here Peter asks this question. He's like, "Well, wait a minute. See, we have left everything. We've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus, we've given it all up. We're here with you. We've been on the road with you for 3.5 years. What do we get for that? I mean, he's not getting anything. Well, what are we getting, though? We want something. We feel like we need something here. What are we getting, Jesus? So he says, "You know what, guys? Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to tell you this parable. I'm hoping you get it." Verse 1, chapter 20. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Now, this is not a parable about labor relations. It's not a parable about labor relations. It's not a story about a man that goes out and hires people. There's going to be a deeper meaning to this, right? The landowner, who does he represent? The master of the house, who does he represent? The Lord. He represents God, right? And the vineyards are what? Heaven. So here we have God. Jesus is talking about his kingdom. He's talking about the Lord, how he goes about things, right? So I want to let you know that as I was reading and studying for this, there's several different viewpoints on this parable. And the one I'm going to teach today is based on prayer and hearing from the Holy Spirit. So it's what I believe the Holy Spirit has showed me to be the meaning of this. Now, it's in alignment with one of the positions that scholars have. So I'm not coming up with something separate, guys. I haven't got some special revelation. But as I was looking at this and then digging back through it, I was like, man, there's a lot of conflict on this parable. Not bad, but, you know, scholars disagree. And so we're going to look at it from what I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me this morning. But notice this. Who goes out early? The master, the head of the household, the Lord. He goes out to find the workers. That tells us something about our relationship with the Lord. He went out to find us. It was nothing we did. We didn't go out going, "Hey man, I know I'm wicked. Let me go find someone that'll make me better." We said, "Hey, I know I'm wicked, and I'm okay where I am." Until the Holy Spirit came to us and said, "Do you realize who you are? Do you realize what you are? You're in conflict with the Lord. You're an enemy of God. Why? Because of your sins." And this is amazing. The Lord, the creator of everything, the God that breathed into existence this universe that we can stare out at and be amazed by. and also feel very small. That God said, I'm going out to find the workers. I'm going out. God's going out. Keep that in mind, guys. It's not about what we're doing here. So he goes out after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day. He sent them into the vineyard. A denarius was a fair day's wage at the time. Today it'd be equivalent to like a penny. Not a lot, right? That's what we would kind of look at it as. But then it was a fair day's wage. So he's not going out and offering these guys to come work in his vineyard for some steal. He's like, you know what? These guys are poor. They need to eat. They need to have clean water. I'm going to take advantage of them. He goes out and offers what's fairly offered, a denarius. He goes, I'm going to give this to them. So he goes out, and listen, when he goes out, it's most likely the very first hour of the day, 6 a.m., the start of the day. Their day ran from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., roughly, approximately. And we're going to see them talk about different periods. So right now it's 6 a.m. He goes out, and he goes to the marketplace. And when he gets there, he finds these guys standing around. Let me put it in terms you may understand. You ever go on the Lowe's on an early morning on a Saturday? There's a bunch of guys hanging out. You can drive up to them and say, hey, I need some gravel moved at my house. I'll pay you $30 or $50 or whatever it is, whatever the, you know, you feel like the right rate is. And they go, hey, yeah, that's cool. Let me get in the vehicle, drive me to your house, and when you're done, just bring me back here because my vehicle's over there. Cool. Let's do it. You know, it's all under the table. I give them cash. They come do the work. Both of us are satisfied. They agreed to the amount I offered. If I said, I'll give you $10, they'd be like, dude, I'll just sit here in the hot sun all day for $10. But for $50, I'll come sit in the hot sun and work. And so this is what he's done. He's gone out to the marketplace, and he's found these guys that are willing to work. The guys that are there, he walks up and asks them. Now understand, the vineyards, when it's time to harvest, it's time to harvest. You can't sit around and go, well, you know, we can do it over the next 6 weeks. No. When it's time to harvest a crop, it's time to harvest that crop. You can't wait around. So he's got to go and find these guys. And so going out, so they're in the vineyard, right? So and going out, verse 3, about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever's right, I will give you whatever's right. So he comes back at the third hour, 9 a.m. He shows back up and he sees more guys. These would probably be me. I don't want to get up at 6 a.m. to be at the marketplace, but I'll show up at 9. So I show up and this master, this owner of the house, the owner of the vineyards, he shows up and he says, hey, you guys, why are you standing around idly? Go get in my vineyard and I'll pay you what's right. Now notice, he doesn't tell them how much he's going to pay them. He tells them, I'm going to pay you what's right. Now this is something, this really speaks to who our God is. He's not going to cheat you. He's not going to give you less than what's right. If you can trust him to be a God that is going to give you what you deserve. Now, that doesn't mean from your works. It means from his grace. Understand that. There's a difference. This story is not about works. Thank God it's not about works. Because a lot of our works are what? They're wicked. They're evil. I mean, honestly, I hear these people go, when I get to heaven, I'm hoping I've done more good than I did bad. I go, man, in my first 10 years of life, I did a lot of bad. I stole a lot of cookies, lied to my parents, hit my brother when my mom wasn't looking and told him I didn't hit him. I mean, I did a lot of bad things in 10 years. I have not done enough good things in the last 40 years to catch up with the first 10 years. And that doesn't add any of the bad I've done for the last 40 years. That's just the first 10. When I get to heaven, God's going to go, you better be glad there's not a scale. You got nothing on this side, Mike. And I'm going to go, yeah, you're right. I'm only here because of the grace of God, because of the blood that was poured out on the cross. That's the only chance that I have with a just and rightful God. So I don't want to take my chances with that. But he goes out at 9. And he says, whatever's right, I'm going to give you. So I'm like, this is great, God. So they went. They didn't negotiate. They didn't haggle. They trusted him. you know what, God, you say you're going to give me this, or Master, you're going to give me this, I'm going to do this. So they go. So then they went, and going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. Man, this guy is resilient. He's like, I got to get the crops brought in. Now, what do we hear in Scripture? What does it say about the harvest? The harvest is what? It's plenty. But what about the workers? Few workers. Tons of harvest. Very few workers. I got to keep looking, right? God's constantly seeking for those that will follow him. Because the harvest needs to be harvested. You can't just hope that it gets harvested. So here he is on the sixth and ninth hour, which is going to be noon and 3 p.m. He goes out and says, let me see who's out here. Now, these guys are significantly lazier than I am. They're not showing up till noon. They're not showing up to 3 o'clock. Or maybe, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe they had another job that was done early. And now they're back out in the market, and they're like, maybe I can make 2 denarius today. I don't know. But here's the deal. When I'm looking at this, this is the way the kingdom of heaven is set up. The Holy Spirit is constantly going out seeking the workers, seeking those that are willing to do the Lord's work. And it doesn't matter when he finds us. Some of us he'll find at the beginning of our walk. We'll be early and on. I meet these young people, and they're like, man, I think we've got a couple here today. I met these young people that go, man, I really love serving the Lord. And they're still teenagers. And I'm envious because I decided to serve my flesh for a very long time. Even when I gave my life to the Lord, I still said, that's cool, Lord. I've made you my Lord, my Savior, but I haven't made you my Lord yet. You know, your blood's been shed for me, and I've accepted that grace, but I'm still not walking for you, Lord. I'm not doing the things you're calling me to do, Lord. And so I'm envious of these people that come in at the 6 a.m. hour, and they're there for the whole work to the day they die. But get this, God doesn't say, I'm only going out to look for those who want to start at the very beginning, who want to be there from the beginning of their walk. He goes, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find people. I'm going to seek you out to the day you breathe your last breath. And we're going to see here, look at this. Look at what he does here. So he's gone out the sixth hour. He's gone out the ninth hour. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? Why do you stand here idle? The 11th hour. That's 5 o'clock. Shop closes at 6. He's still out there looking for him. Hey, I'm looking for you. I don't care if you're 10 minutes from death or a young lad or woman that's going to start your ministry with me. I'm seeking you out. I don't have boundaries on those I'm seeking. You know what I say to that? Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look, I have run into plenty of seniors that did not believe in Christ until their last 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, one case, 1 year. And they just fought against the Lord, and they fought against the Lord, and they fought against the Lord. And the Lord kept seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking. And they finally just said, hey, you know what? I want to give my life to Christ. I want to turn myself over to Christ. And not very long. I know to some of you younger people, 5 years seems like a long time. But as you get older, 5 years seems like a real blink. And 1 year just seems like breathe and it's over. I mean, we're in September tomorrow. I haven't barely finished New Year's Eve. And we're there. 9 months later, 8 full months later. I don't know where it went. But I love the fact that God here goes, hey, it's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock somewhere. And I'm going out there. I'm going out there. I'm seeking them out. I didn't give up on them at 3 o'clock. I didn't give up on them at noon. I didn't give up on them at 9 a.m. I'm going to seek and seek. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the God we serve. His love is so broad, so deep, so amazing for us that he's like, I don't give up. I give up. I give up. There's people I meet and I minister to, and I give up. You know what, Lord? I have witnessed to them as much as I can witness. I have shown them the grace that you poured on my life. I've shown them the scripture. I've argued through the scripture with them. It's not something I like to do, but certain people I do. I've argued through the scripture, Lord, and this hard-headed fool will not give his life to you. I'm done. I'll pray for him, but I'm done spending my time trying to get them to give their life to you. That's a horrible attitude. I'm just being honest with you. I get frustrated. Our Holy Spirit, what does he say? There's no done, Mike. There's no done. I'm constantly seeking him. I don't give up. He's relentless. The only thing that's going to be relentless, the only person that's going to be relentless for your salvation is a God that knows no limits to his love. Because I can tell you, people will give up on you. People will give up on you. They will turn aside to you and say, I am done with that fool. I can't deal with him anymore. It takes up way too much valuable time in my life. And the God we serve, he says, there's no such thing. I don't want anyone to perish. I desire for this person to know me, to be with me eternally. That's the God we serve, guys. That's who we serve. Amazing God. Deep love. So he goes and he gets this guy. Now, let's be honest. If I'm working in the field and I see a guy coming at 5 o'clock and I've been there since 6 o'clock, not a happy guy. Now, I'm thinking to myself, he's probably going to get, like, nothing. He's only going to be here for an hour or less. He's not going to get what I'm getting. But I'm not real happy with him. I don't know about you guys. I wouldn't be happy if I'm working on a job and a guy shows up 30 minutes before it's over. I'm like, what in the world? You know, especially if he shows up and he's like, you got to work harder. You know, because he's got all the energy. And I'm like, man, I'm worn out. I've been here all day. You know, I'm not going to be real happy with these guys, but that's on me. So he says, why do you stand here idle all day? Great question. Now understand, I don't know that they've been there all day. Here's why I say that. They've either been there and he's offered them pay, and each time they said, not interested. Not interested in working for you. Just not a good enough pay. What you're offering me is just not good enough, housemaster. It's not enough for me. I want something more. And by 5 o'clock, they're desperate. Okay, I got to make some money. If I go home with no money, guess what that means? No food. I'm not eating. You know, when I served some time in Africa, what I loved about the Nairobi citizens, the Nairobians that were there, is when they came to church on Sunday, they were giving something to come to church. Because every day they worked, which is about a dollar is what they got, 66 shillings at the time, about a dollar, that paid for their food and their house for that day, basically. And so if they came to church, what were they doing? Giving up food. Giving up food. They couldn't give up their house. They had to pay for that, so they had to give up the food. So here, if these guys don't work, they're probably not eating. They didn't have banks that they were running around. They didn't have cash, you know, stashes of cash laying somewhere. They're getting paid and they're eating. They're paying basically day to day. They're hand to mouth, every day. You know what? Maybe some of you guys are living paycheck to paycheck. You know the feeling. You know, miss a day of work, don't get paid for it. It hurts. This would hurt them not to show up. So anyway, he's like, you've been standing around idle all day. They said, well, because no one has hired us. Okay? And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. He doesn't offer them anything here. You see that? He doesn't say, I'm going to pay you what's right. He doesn't say, I'm going to pay you a denarius. He didn't say anything. He said, you just go. Get to work. Just go and do this. This is what I need you to do. And when evening had came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them the wages, beginning with the last up to the first. He's going to bring in the guy that just showed up an hour ago. He's going to get paid first. There again, this is like going to King's Dominion. You get in line for a ride. And you're like, I'm waiting for the ride to open up. I can't wait to get in. I got here at 4 a.m. to sleep in my tent so I could be the first guy on the ride. And the guy that's riding the ride comes out and goes, hey, you in the back. Come up here. You get the ride at first. You're like, what? What's going on? What do you mean? I've been here all day. What's going on? And you're upset. You're like, what? But listen to this. God is doing this. Here's the reason he's doing this in this parable. And this is what he does in his kingdom, I believe, as well. He's allowing us to see grace up front. The guys that are first, what do they know they're getting? They know they're getting a denarii. They were told, for a day's wage, you're getting a denarii. I'm getting a denarii. You certainly can't be getting a denarii. You've been here less than an hour. And yet we're going to see what the Lord does in his kingdom. And when those hired about the 11th hour, so it's not just one, several, came, each of them received, read this, a denarius. A denarii. They get a denarius. What's your reaction going to be? You've been there at 6 a.m. Guy's been there at 5 p.m. What are you going to do? Personally, I'm going to go, sweet, that guy got a denarii. I'm getting at least six. I've got to get more because I've been here longer. I deserve more. Right? I'm entitled to more. If that guy gets a denarii and has only been here for an hour, I need more. This guy's going to give me more. I'd be excited. Sweet, came in for one. I'm going to walk out with four. 4 days work, one day, I'm loving it. I'm all excited. I'm pumped up. Can't wait for him to call my name. Now, though, we're going to see what happens. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received, you see what they got? A denarius. They got the exact same pay. And on receiving it, they did what? They did what I would do. They grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Would you or would you not be upset? I'd be upset. I would be furious. Probably be compounded by the fact that I saw them get a denarii and I thought I'm getting more. So I've already in my head, I've sort of cashed out that four denarii. You know, oh, I can't wait to get home. I'm going to show my wife. I got four instead of one. I'm a hard worker. Look at the provider I am. I'm all pumped up. I'm going to go tell my friends, you can't believe what I did today. I got paid four denarii. Right? I mean, I've played it out. I have spent that. You know, so what is the old country saying? Don't count your eggs. You know, right? Before you get the basket, right? Whatever it is. But here I'd be counting my eggs. I'm getting more than one. And I walk up and I go, and the guy goes, ding. And it doesn't make noise because it hits a hand, so there's nothing else to hit, no other coins. It says, and I'm like, what? And I'm looking like, you know, like there's got to be more coming. Were you playing with me? And he's like, okay, move on, move on. So I walk on and now I'm disgruntled. Now look, they don't go to the foreman. Look who they go to. They go to that master of the house. They go to the master of the house. They skip the foreman who's paying them. So the master of the house is standing off to the side watching. But they get their pay, and they go to him. They say, hey, what is up? That guy and that guy and that guy and that guy showed up at 5 o'clock. I've been here all day. I was out in the heat. I was sweating to death in the heat, cutting your grapes. I did way more work than that. Look at all the baskets I was able to harvest. Like I got like two. I've got like 50. What's going on? I don't understand. This doesn't make sense to me. Isn't this how we are with God? We see people receive blessings from the Lord, and we go, wait a minute. That guy doesn't seem, there's something wrong with that guy. I do this all the time, something I'm guilty of. But I've got to remember it different. I have to look at it differently from the kingdom of heaven perspective. I see a guy who's teaching online. And he's a very good teacher. Doesn't teach solid doctrine, but a very good teacher in the sense of entertaining. And I see the church. It's massive. There's like 30,000 people in this thing. It's a stadium, a literal stadium. And they're like, this is one of three services. And I'm like, what? What in the world are you talking about? This guy is not teaching the Word of God properly. And I get frustrated. But God's like, what's it to you, Mike? What's it to you? I'm using this guy. Look, I know in these churches where doctrine is not solidly taught that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is still working. There are people within that church that are being saved. And they step out of that church and they go to a more grounded church later. Or they stay there and they push for groundedness in that church. Maybe they have a home study. And the person's not getting a really good teaching on Sunday morning, but they go to this house on Tuesday nights, and the person that's leading it loves the Lord, Word of the Lord. And they're just pouring into those that show up, and those 10 or 15 or 20 people are being grown, right? They're being discipled, and then they go out and do the same. And even though I look at this one man and I get frustrated, I get jealous, the Lord goes, stop it. This isn't up to you, Mike. This is my grace. This is my blessings. I can do what I want with them. And this is what he says to them. Look at it, same thing. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. So did you not agree with me for a denarius? So first off, he's going to stop them in their tracks. He's like, I don't know why you're upset. This is what I promised you. This is what you agreed to. Why are you angry? Why are you angry? Isn't this what you agreed to? And so now that righteousness, they're like, yeah, I did agree to that. Man, okay. You know, not real happy with it, but okay. I mean, haven't you ever been in a job where you got your job and you make $15 an hour, let's say, or $25 or $500, I don't care, whatever the number is. And someone else comes in, maybe not as qualified with you, but one heck of a better negotiator. Or the company just needs people really bad, and they're at 17. You're like, wait a minute, I'm at 15. I already know the job. I can do it without all the extra training. This guy comes in, he doesn't know left from right, up from down. It's going to take 3 months to train him, and you're paying him $2 more. What is wrong? And I've had to remind my kids of this. What did you agree to?
Well, I agreed to $15.
Then how are you being wronged? You agreed to this. If you don't like it, find another job. Or go back and renegotiate. And then probably find another job. So, you know, I'm like, and he points that out. I promised you this. This is what I gave you. That's what our Lord does. He says, I promise you this, and this is what he does. He's a trustworthy God. He's not a God that's going to do one thing and be like, well, I've changed my mind. I was going to give you full grace. I'm going to give you partial grace. You're going to spend half your time in hell, and the other half is going to be in heaven. Want to do hell first or heaven first? You're like, oh, that's not cool. It's not what I was promised. That's not what you said. He doesn't do that. He keeps his promises. He's a righteous God. And he says, take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Do you begrudge my generosity? God has the right to bestow blessings on whomever he wants. If he has promised blessings on you, he'll give you those, whatever they are. But if he wants to give someone else more, that's his decision. That's his choice. Don't begrudge someone else who you think is being blessed more. Listen, we're all part of the what? The body of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ. I heard a pastor once say, my hand gets some food that it can put in my mouth. My foot doesn't get angry and go, well, how come the hand gets food and I don't get food? It goes, I'm glad the hand got food because it's going to put it in my mouth. I'm going to eat it, and my feet are going to feel good enough to walk. The body's healthy. Get it? We're healthy. And sometimes you'll just look and go, that doesn't seem fair, God. Look how blessed they are. They have a great husband or great wife, awesome kids. I just want to be married. Why, Lord, am I not married? Look at the job they have, Lord. How come they have that job? I'm just as smart as they are. Well, you know what? We can question God all you want, but you can't. You should not be challenging His blessings. You shouldn't be saying they're not. They shouldn't get that, God, because you don't know how God's using that. Or maybe you do, and you still are jealous. And Jesus, God's saying here, listen, in my kingdom, my blessings are mine to give. I give to whom I want, and I give how I want. Now, if you got grace, and he got grace, and he got salvation, and she got salvation, so we're all good for what I promised. This is what I promised. But the blessings may be different. Now, look, I don't see anyone going around complaining that they're not getting what Paul got. We all complain about, well, I want the nicer house or the better job or a husband or a wife or kid, whatever it is. We're not going, man, you know, look at Paul. He was really blessed with tribulations, with troubles, with trials, with execution. What about those? Listen, whatever the Lord places in your life, accept them. You know, maybe sometimes you'll need more grace, more patience, maybe a little more love, depending on who He places in your life. Different things. But just be willing to say, thank you, Lord, for this blessing. Whether it's one or 500. Take the blessing you have and look at it. We are, as humans, we are so good at having blessed lives and still finding the bad. Man. I have great kids, but it sure would be great if they went to college and became all doctors and they took care of me when they were, you know, when I'm in my 50s and 60s. You know, the one saying I have for my kids when they talk about careers is this: I want you to do something that's moral, ethical, and legal. Outside of that, I don't care what you do, but meet these three standards. Right? And so when God has given you a blessing, take that blessing and thank Him for that blessing. Take that blessing and be like, Lord, if this is the only blessing you give me, I didn't deserve it, but I'm excited to have it. It changes your world, guys, when you stop looking at what you don't have, what God hasn't given you, because I can tell you, He hasn't given me a lot of things. And I'm sure He hasn't given you guys a lot of things. Some of you are praying for better health. Some of you are praying for better marriages. Some of you are praying for obedient children. Some of you are praying for better jobs, better situations, better whatever. That's all fine. You can pray for those, but stop ignoring the blessings. This guy was blessed. He was told, I'm going to give you X, and he was given X. He was given the denarii, a day's wage. The Lord kept His promise. But then He decided, I'm going to bless the person that only worked an hour. That's my call. That's my call. You ever been in a restaurant? We're going to close up here in a second. Been in a restaurant and someone's standing in front of you and they're obviously struggling financially. Obviously, it's not like, you know, like they're, maybe they're playing. They're actually struggling financially. And you go, hey, it's okay. You talk to the cashier. Hey, it's okay. I've got this. Just let me pay it. And that person's like, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. But someone else, some other knucklehead, decides to step in and go, don't pay for that person. Why are you paying for him? Make him get a job. I've been there. I've been in this situation. The person screaming at me to leave him alone. He doesn't deserve food. And tell him to get out of here. I do one of two things. I get angry really quick. And then I continue to pay. It's my money. I look at the person. This is what I said to them. It's my money. What is it your business? It's my money. I've earned it. I can do what I want with my money. And if I want to give this man my credit card and tell him, go empty my bank account out, I can do that. I kind of said it like that. But the point being is, I was really upset because it's mine. And God, it's His. He can do what He wants with it. Stop expecting more because you think you're entitled to it. Start being thankful for your blessings. Just say, you know what, Lord? Thank you, God. I am just thankful that I got up this morning. I can stand upright. I breathe well. My heart functions. My kids are fine. I've got a house. I don't care how big, how small, how dirty, how messy, how perfectly clean, how perfectly furnished, how not perfectly furnished like my house. There's a lot of things, right? But I thank him for them. Thank you for my wife every morning. Thank you, God. I could have had a woman that was didn't like me much. I'm sure that's pretty easy at times. I got to have a woman that doesn't pray for me. Right? Have someone who just gets irritated every time I say something. But I don't. I have a wife that prays for me. She loves on me. Even when I'm a knucklehead. Which is pretty often. You know? Can you say amen, guys? Right? Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have here. So this is what he says at the very end. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. I love this because God's saying, in my kingdom, who you're expecting to be first ain't going to be first. And who you're expecting to be last ain't going to be last. What you think as a person, and in the world we do what? We look at people and we say, oh, that guy, that's successful. Look at him. Woo! Look at all the things he's got. Yeah, he's definitely going to be front of the line. And you look at someone else and you go, kind of struggling. Not doing so great. Right? And yet, in heaven, God goes, that stuff doesn't matter to me. I don't judge man the way that man judges themselves and judge other men. He goes, when you get in heaven, what I like about the last going first is that you get to see the grace poured out and you get to marvel at the grace. Get to look at it and go, are you kidding me? That's amazing. Because that's not what I thought was going to happen here. It's not what I expected. I didn't expect that kind of grace for this individual. And we need to realize that God does not work in our economy. His economy is totally different. The way he measures things, the way he rewards. It's not the way that man rewards. It's not the way that man measures things either. You know what I say to that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So throughout this all, guys, Jesus is showing his disciples here, look, you're asking what you're going to get for all of this. You're going to get what God gives you. He's going to give you grace. And if he gives you anything else, praise God. He may bless you in ways you didn't think you were going to get blessed. These guys have already gone through a lot. Let's just be honest. They've had to deal with all the stress of the crowds and the miracles that were necessary and the religious leaders pressing down on them as well as Jesus. And so, in their eyes, they're probably thinking they deserve tenfold. And Jesus is just setting them straight. Hey, listen, in heaven, it's not how it works on earth. It's just different. It's different, guys. Understand that. In heaven, God's going to keep his word. He keeps his word. He promises you grace and mercy and salvation and justification and sanctification. He's going to meet all of those. That's enough. Now, if he decides to bless you, hey, that's his decision. That's his decision. You know, one last thing. I know when we look around, guys, we'll see people, and they'll tell you testimonies. They say, you know what? I was addicted to you name it. And I was praying, and the Holy Spirit came upon me. And at that very moment, my addiction was gone. And you're like, amen, Lord, that's awesome. But what about me? I've been praying for this addiction as well. And I'm still attracted to alcohol. I'm still drawn to pornography. I'm still drawn to gambling. I mean, I fight it. And I use your strength, Lord, to resist it. But why not me? Why hasn't the Holy Spirit answered my prayer? I want that blessing. Let me tell you something. That blessing may not be for you. And that's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, right? We all go, well, if he's a loving God, look what he said. It's mine. I can do with it what I want. And if I choose to give it away, I will. And if I choose not to, that's none of your business. It's mine to do what I will with it. And so that's hard, but the beauty of it is it reminds me that God is in control. And that even when he withholds a blessing I think I'm due, he's still in control. It doesn't lessen God. Doesn't make him a lesser God. Doesn't make him less loving. Because think about it. He's given you grace. He's given you mercy. He's covered you in the blood of Christ, which is way more than you deserve. It's way more than I deserve. Yet he did it. Accept that blessing and be thankful for anything else he puts in your life. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the mercy that you pour out on us, Lord, even though we definitely do not deserve it, Father God. And Lord, I thank you for this parable, Lord, just the ability to see grace poured out on the last first, just the wonder of grace. Lord, we know that none of us deserve it. But Father God, I thank you that like the master of the house, you went out seeking us, looking for us as laborers in your work. Father, we just love you. I pray, Father God, that you would give us opportunities this week to be gracious to other people, to be loving to other people, Father God, to speak your word into the lost life. Father God, give us the boldness that's necessary to do that, Father God. In our flesh often resists that. What are they going to think? Well, how are they going to react? Father God, remove those concerns from us and give us a heart that you have, Father God, one that is completely concerned for the loss, desiring none to perish, Father God. And so, Lord, I just pray for those opportunities and for that boldness for each of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.